When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
What's up, good people? I am Marco Malmasi of Malmasi Fire Arts, and I'm here to welcome you. Welcome to another fine episode of the Knife Talk Podcast. As always, I'm here with the captain of the ship, Mr. Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives, and number two, I guess. Does that mean you're a pile of shit or you're like second in command?
Jesus Christ.
That's an intro for you.
For fuck's sake.
Really big him up on the intro.
How dare you? What an outrage. Total fucking outrage.
Jeff Fader, the man. You're the man, Jeff. Of Fader Knives. We're here every week to talk knives, answer questions, help solve your dilemmas, keep you company in the shop, generally just kind of give each other a hard time, as previously illustrated. Yeah. But let's start off with the last week. Craig, how you been? You've been playing a lot of music.
We haven't said who you are yet.
That's
a bag of shit, Marocco Marmassi.
Yeah, you said it at the top.
Did it? Okay.
What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry. Sorry, Marocco, you're saying.
I was just saying, you've been up to a lot of music lately. What's the last week look like for you?
A lot of music, yeah. So we've got a release date for a single.
We've been
signed to a label. We got a video shoot planned. Yeah, it's
full on.
A video shoot?
A video shoot. So we're all eating salad and wearing girdles. Yeah.
Fuck that.
It's not going to be like Motley Crue style with like the long hair and a bunch of chicks running around in bikinis.
I mean, the thing is, we're all... I'm the oldest in my 40s. The others are in the late 30s. So we've decided we're going to be in silhouette throughout the whole video.
Oh my god!
So it's a thing. But yeah, we've been signed to a label, and we're now looking at big festivals next year and stuff. It's like snowballed very, very quickly.
Wow, that's
yes.
amazing.
So okay. November 24th, we release an EP with four songs. Yeah, it's all go. It's all exciting stuff.
That's insane.
Fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's insane because I remember just, 18 months ago, in the bathtub with, as you're probably going to mention, with my big balls floating to the top.
Right.
in lockdown, thinking, when this is over, I'm going to start a band because, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, since I was a kid, I was in a band as a kid, but, you know, do a bit more. And that was like 18 months ago, and it's just like it's gone crazy. So yeah, it's all happening. Contracts being signed and artwork being approved and all that kind of stuff.
Contracts.
Yes. Oh yes. Yeah.
Label, man. There's got to be contracts, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And then you know, who wrote those lines of that song and who did that? Right. You know, it's all very amicable, but it's a lot of head work. It really is. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds insane.
It is insane. Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thought?
But everybody thought.
Well, let's face it, nobody thought.
Everybody thought. Come on.
Including myself. But I honestly do believe we've got this sounds, you know, sort of very confident of me, but we've got the songs, and I think there's so many bands out there at the moment. They're releasing great stuff, and it all sounds great, but underneath it, there's not really a song under it. You know, it's just great production.
Yeah.
But I honestly believe we've got great songs. So yeah, it's all good.
Music all good. With substance.
That's it.
Music
without the substances. So, that's an album title, surely.
Is the idea to try to capture a certain age? What's your demographic for your music? Are they talking about that? You guys have some sort of demographic, don't
yeah,
you?
Well, I suppose it's people my age that were into sort of 90s music. That's the style of music that we do,
right.
90s guitar music.
So pensioners.
slightly older than Mareko, should we say, slightly younger than Jeff. In that sweet spot, you know. Managed to insult you both in one night.
Gotcha. I know, you motherfuckers have been really something else today.
Well, I think it's cool because we've been following you along this journey this whole time. I'm curious, actually, what's your family been like throughout all this. I'm sure they've been supportive, but I've only seen it from my perspective talking with you on the podcast.
Totally 100% supportive. Yeah, completely. Yeah.
I mean, they must be like super excited and all that stuff. Like you guys.
Yeah.
Doing, like,
massively, massively. So I'm back in the studio in middle of October, so the middle of this month now.
Okay.
For 10 days back in Rockfield, so the whole family are going over. So we'd all be in Wales for 2 weeks and stuff. So. Yeah, they're loving it. They're very excited too. So
that's fun. Good fun.
So is Uplift over?
Well,
should I not have said that? Should I not have brought it up?
We do have a rehearsal Friday, but I'll still do it while I'm here. But it's that was never going anywhere. That was always we do covers and we do parties, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'll still do that just to do it. But it's a very different thing with the other band, which are the 355s, by the way, if anybody's listening and would like to follow us on Instagram, we are the 355s.
Are you also on Spotify?
We haven't released anything yet.
Okay.
So November 24th, there'll be four songs dropping at once on November 24th. Yeah.
Speaking of vermin, what's going on with all the bed bugs in France?
Well, you sent me this, and I know nothing about it apart from that article that you sent. So I think it's the usual tabloids of making.
I don't think so. From what I've been reading and seeing, it's like a big story because a lot of it has to do with. I mean,
I'm just scratching my crotches.
I don't blame. Yeah, I'm not surprised. That's a different kind of bug you got, but fucking Fred bug is what you got. So apparently there's this real problem because the Olympics are coming to Paris and all of the French subways and trains and buses are infested with bed bugs. And then they're starting to give people advice on how to not bring bed bugs home, especially if you're in a hotel. And it's quite troubling because, you know, obviously you don't want bed bugs. And but I mean, apparently in the trains and the subways in France, it's like a big problem.
How are they living if they're not? Surely they need to live in beds. They
It's not just they don't live in bed. They're not awfully.
Those the lazy bugs.
They're Netflix and chilling all fucking.
They got like lazy bugs. Yeah.
They got their little hats on and their like Z's and their little eye patches on to make sure they get all waked up by the. Come on, man. But apparently, a lot of it has to do with climate change because there's more because it's getting warmer. They're getting more of opportunity to survive. And the problem in New York now is there's this thing called these lantern flies, which are apparently, I've never even heard of this, which is like kill on contact. They are these big flies with this red back. They look almost like a beetle and they're infesting cities in New York, in New York and the Northeast. And they're just like, they're bad. It's real bad. It's like it's like a real, biblical style.
Do they carry disease, that kind of thing?
I don't think so. It doesn't look like any bug I've ever seen before. They're called lantern flies, and they're all over the place. So it's
interesting.
So at some point there'll have to be a band called the Lantern Flies.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's bug news for today.
Bug news for today.
What's been going on for you, Jeff?
It's been crazy. Today was a weird day because I've been waiting to get some steel in from my friends, the New Jersey Steel Baron, because I wanted to have these ultralight MLs in, and they came in today. So I had to heat treat a pile of them today, and then I'm tempering them as we speak, and I got to grind them and finish them for Maker Camp. The problem is, and this is me taking responsibility, I didn't look at the fine print in regards to what I ordered. So I ordered two different styles. I ordered the wrong unit amount on one. They swapped them. So I had less of what I wanted and more of what I didn't want. So it was, and it's one of those things where you're just like, it would be very easy for me to call up and blame them. But I look back at I didn't catch that they had made that, on the proof. And it really, it comes down to, it's happened to me a couple times, and it's like, you got to slow down, and you have got to not allow this to happen again. But we're making it happen, and I heat treated a pile of forks today. I probably heat treated 15 plus 25 knives today. So and cryoed, and I'm like, you know, so we're hauling ass, and I got a big project coming up. I'm stabilizing some wood, waiting for that to kind of finish soaking, and then I'll cook that off. And you know, we're hauling ass, busy, real busy.
So how many even heats you been running today?
Two. I got two. Ooh, I got one nice. straight for temper and one for strictly the one for temper and one for heat treating. And then nice. I'm running on dregs of my cryo. I'm almost at the stage where I have to put the doer on its side so I can kind of get last puddle of liquid nitrogen, which works.
It's
great.
A strong move.
It works. So I mean, if as long as it doesn't drip out the top, it holds. So you can get out, you know, your last dregs of liquid nitrogen. So
avoid the drip.
The drip.
There you go.
Good time for this.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
Did you see Neil Kamimura's Even Heat this week?
Yes.
How cool is that?
The turn and burn.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah.
Well, it makes a lot of sense because, you know, basically, the Even Heat, I guess they used to make that model where it's just like a dial and then you dial it up. But, you know, it's not going to work for, you know, different stage. You know, if you have some stainless needs to soak at different stages. So
You'd be dialing it back and forth all the time. Yes.
But that makes a lot of sense. Those guys are smart. We're going to see them in Maker Camp. I'm going to see my friend Mareko Mamat. By the time this is out, we'll have already had a nice time together. Mareko, it was great seeing you over the weekend. You know,
it'll be fun.
It was great
awesome seeing you.
It was great seeing you.
And I promise next time I won't pull your pants down like in that situation.
Sorry about that. Okay. Mm.
Yeah. Well, that was okay. Please don't let that happen. Yeah, don't let that happen in the future or the past. So,
well, if he doesn't do it now, he's not then tampering with the space time continuum,
right?
You may never be born, or something weird could happen. So
fine.
Yeah.
Fine. I got you. Mareko, are you ready? Are your bags packed? Are you ready to go?
Oh, my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. Yeah, we're getting the last little bit of things packed up. I got all the stuff I need from the shop, and we fly out tomorrow morning, and at about 9 o'clock West Coast, which is about noon East Coast. Not about, it is. Anyways, and then we don't get up to Maker Camp until about almost midnight. So it's going to be a long day of travel.
Yikes.
With the little kiddo. But it'll be fine. Hopefully it'll wear his ass out and we'll get on to the East Coast time without any hitch. But no guarantees. But it feels good to be out of the COVID woods, I will say. I have a little bit of a croaky throat still. But other than that, I'm pretty good.
You don't mind if I just give you knuckles, right?
No.
Okay.
So you don't want to hug me?
I mean...
And that's why I pulled your pants down.
There we go. Explains everything.
And then I'm trying to think. Oh, I just taught my class last weekend. That was
How'd it go?
It was great. The theory class went awesome. Everybody was super psyched and felt... many of them said, you know, after the first couple hours of taking this class, I already got more than I thought I was going to get. Over the whole 3 days. So it was technically two and a half days. It was a really good class. Yeah. It was a good group of guys. We went through a lot of stuff. It's me downloading my brain and how I think about Damascus and everything onto them over those 2.5 days. But yeah, everybody was really psyched. And my biggest concern was I had a couple guys coming all the way from Israel. They literally, like, the reason they came all the way over to take the class, they didn't just happen to be in the area, which I thought was the situation before. They actually flew all the way over from Israel to take the class with me.
Wow.
And they were very, very thankful for the class. One of them is a Apollo. He is a... He's a
boxer
metal...
in in Rocky IV.
Right, Apollo Creed.
How dare you.
He's a metal fabricator and a blacksmith. And he's been doing that work for like 30, 35 years or something like that. And he does it for a lot of the museums. Like he's restoring like historical work and historical like hardware, historical buildings and stuff yeah. like that. And he even was just super thankful. He said he kept telling me it was life-changing, which was
wow,
super humbling. Wow. Because yeah. it just like completely shifted his whole paradigm around how he looked at steel. He's like, I will never look at steel the same again. Wow. I was like, that's
wow. Cool. Jeez. So.
Changing lives.
Look at well, you.
It's crazy to come from somebody who has so much time and experience with fabricating and working metal. Hmm. So, yeah, it was a really good class. And then one last thing I wanted to kind of, like a small announcement, but I have kind of like a project that I'm helping with, and I need people from the Florida area or kind of in the neighboring states. If you're up to do a little bit of labor, I have a project that you might be interested in. So shoot me a DM directly. Well,
what kind of labor? Well, all of a sudden, I'm thinking right like carrying bags, carrying sacks of concrete.
No. This is kind of a top secret. Right now, it's still kind of a developing project. I'll probably talk a little bit more about it in the future. But right now, I'm just trying to gauge interest of people in the Florida and neighboring states, the Florida area, or you know those Southeast United States area that might be willing to travel to Florida to do a little bit of work, and so shoot me DMs if you're interested, and I'll start talking to you about what's going on. That's it. Wow. That's all I'm saying.
You can't give it a hint.
No. Next.
I mean, were they gonna fucking carry bricks
combat.
Around or
play that combat?
Change the subject quickly. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah. something. I mean, there's it's just
nothing.
Like
no,
nothing.
I mean, it has to do with helping out a fellow knife maker.
Do they have to be knife makers?
No,
it could be anybody.
Anybody who's willing to do some work.
Work oh. like lifting.
Yeah, lifting, moving.
Okay, right, there we go. Now we're talking. Okay, so there you go. So that's all you had to say. Just yeah. like you know, can't be showing up like you know in a crutch. No crutches.
It's a hot dog eating contest.
It's a hot dog eating contest, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be the glizzy bowl.
No, it's called the Ween Slam.
Oh. The Ween Slam.
Yeah, how many can you take down?
Oh, God. There's your title. There's your title, Craig.
Okay, let's change the subject.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
15% off. Hell of a saving. I think we should get straight into questions because I've just seen the first question.
Before we get into the questions, if you're interested in the Barcelona class, it's halfway full. So if you want to go to Florentine Kitchen Knives with me and Tomer, now's your chance because it's halfway full. Tomer said it's halfway full. So go to Florentine Kitchen Knives and get in on that. It's fun class.
Wow. Halfway already?
And yeah, yeah.
When is it? Is it June?
It's
July?
The last weekend in June and the first weekend in July. Yeah, we're very optimistic.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, yeah, nice. Considering it's so far away. So do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right,
cool.
Go ahead.
Don't miss out. Okay. We've got questions. So if you've got questions for us, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. We have an anonymous question.
Right.
And these are always fun, anonymous, because you don't know what's going to go on. But this is anonymous. Just curious, what your guys take it on a person in an industry who decides to put themselves in the public eye by being on a podcast and such, knowing people starting out in that industry will probably ask them questions, then being kind of rude when you do ask them questions. It seems counterintuitive to me and might even discourage people from asking said questions. No one asks them to put themselves out there. They did it themselves, and when someone has a genuine question, it's treated kind of like, why is this idiot bothering me?
Hmm.
So that's anonymous. That came with a Cyprus postal.
No. Cyprus in the morning? You think it's Cyprus in the morning? One of the greatest bits of all time, Cyprus in the morning.
Okay, so yeah, what do we think?
Recco, what do you think?
Is it me? I hope it's not me.
We're all thinking
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ.
We're all thinking it.
Just, yeah, send me a question.
It's Brian
I'll block
House.
You
it's Brian House. It's got, this is all about Brian House.
I will say that it is not either one of you.
Okay, great.
Fuck you. I mean, all right, go ahead.
So let me rephrase this question.
Go
just
ahead.
Curious what you guys think about Jeff,
go ahead.
Who's put himself in the public eye go on ahead. A podcast and such. Knowing people starting out in the industry, we'll right. probably ask him a question.
Yeah.
But he's kind of rude when they do ask them questions.
Yeah.
It seems counterintuitive to me.
It does.
That Jeff might even discourage people from asking questions.
Yeah.
No
Weird.
One asked Jeff
nope.
to put themselves out there.
Nope.
But Jeff did it himself.
Sure did.
And when someone has a genuine question,
yeah.
it's treated kind of like...
piece of shit.
Why is this idiot bothering me?
Yeah, I am a piece of shit. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mareko, and then I'll give you context. Go ahead.
Okay.
Don't... let's pretend it's not me. And then just, like, answer the question.
Well, I know it's not you, because I think you're smart enough. If this person were smarter, like yourself and our show, they would say, you know what? That's a great question for my podcast. I'm going to answer it there instead of being a fucking dick about it.
That's a good answer.
I feel like it's very simple. Because
nice.
I think the what really makes our podcast shine, and maybe I'm giving away some of the magic juju, but we involve the audience. And that makes such a difference when people are listening to the show. If they feel like they're part of the conversation.
Right.
And I think that's honestly, it's really important. It's a really important part for the success of our podcast.
Definitely.
Which, like Jeff is saying over and over again, we have the best listeners. And we really
do. We do.
We really fucking do. So this sounds like this person is just extremely short-sighted and not very... not even willing to be a copycat, copy our show, and just be like, you know what? I'll answer that on the podcast next week. Thanks for the question.
Well, I think that this person obviously needs a bit more of a sense of humor. It's part of the show. We do, we belittle each other and sometimes the people who are writing into us, but we never offend anybody. And
on purpose.
On purpose. And if there's a chance of offending people, we really don't mention names.
Right.
You know, we don't do that. But I think there's plenty of podcasts out there which are straight and they're serious. You get that. And it's just not our style. And, you know, it's a bit of a shtick of ours as well. It's part of the show. It's part of the joke. It's what we do. And we have a lot of sort of running jokes that we've done for years as well. So some people may not quite understand it and think we're being a bit brittle or a bit rude. We're really not. I do this personally to learn from you guys and from our listeners with the questions we get in as well and the answers that Mareko and Jeff would give. And it's great fun as well. And I think that's why the show is what it is, because I know we've got plenty of listeners who don't even make knives, but they just listen because they find it quite funny. And that's what we try to do. We try to entertain you. But, you know, alongside that, there is more to it. You know, there's a lot of knowledge being dropped as well.
Right. Well,
not just by us, by the listeners too.
Let me just break in with some context. I made this guy's name anonymous. And part of it is because... I think that this is a person who I'm not, and you're going to be surprised that I'm not going to say anything poor about him. You're going to be surprised. You're going to think that I'm going to go like, you know, ape, and I'm not. I think that's short-sighted.
Sorry, I just laughed then, so not because of what you're saying, but I've just seen another question. I've seen the names of the people who've been writing in. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, don't look at the question. Stop looking at the names. Stop looking at the names. Don't spoil it. So this is a person who I've gone out of my way to help. He reached out to me on my personal...
Oh, my God. He didn't listen to you.
Would you shut the fuck up? I'm trying to be serious here. Don't you... I'm trying to help my reputation.
We're
stop reading the names.
We're trying to have a moment here.
I'm sorry. Let me mute myself. Sorry.
Just, I don't need you to mute. Just stop laughing. So, but Craig, stop. I need you in here. You gotta fucking.
Okay, I'm here.
Just
sorry,
calm
I'm here.
Yourself. So, this is what makes this show so good. I derailed so quickly. So basically, this I made the connection because I couldn't figure out what this was all about, and the name looked familiar, and he had reached out to me on my personal Instagram to ask me some questions. I had answered his questions. And then I helped him and he thanked me. He said, thanks for the podcast. And generally speaking, I try to keep the questions for Knife Talk. I tell people, you know, on the business page, it's for business. And I don't really go on the line that much. And it's hard for me to answer questions. It's hard for me to DMs. In my bio, it says no DMs only because it's hard for me to like remember where people are, when I get to see people, respond. Yeah. I can't do business in the DMs. So he asked me a question on how to fix something. And I showed him. It was a coffee etch situation, which could have been a Knife Talk thing. He listens to this podcast. I gave him a quick answer. I helped him through it. And then I even gave him a direct link to Neil Camamora's video. Neil Camamora's YouTube video on coffee etching, which is dynamite. Then he, you know, a couple weeks later, asked me another question that I don't have any information on. You know, if you listen to this podcast, Mareko, what do I know about how many S grinds have I done?
As far as I know, zero.
Right. How much do I know about S grinds? Only what you tell me, right?
Armchair expert level.
Right. At you're being very kind when you say that. I know nothing. So the guy asked me about S grinds, and I really had no answers. He didn't like my answer. I was maybe short. Didn't like give him the Magna Carta. And then I thought I had answered it, but not in a way that was meant to be humiliating, not in a way that was meant to be, embarrassing. I never try to make anyone feel bad about themselves or make people feel anything other than. But at the same time, it's like you got a knife making question, put it on Knife Talk. You listen to the show, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I think that there's this strange opinion, and this guy feels that I owe him something after I've helped him a couple times. I don't have anything other than peace and blessings for this person. I have nothing bad to say. I will not block this person. And the other thing is I've gone out of my way to protect him to a certain degree. There's no reason for him to be humiliated. There's no reason for him to be anything other than you listen to the podcast, send your information here. I'm sorry that I can't help you all the time. I'm sorry that I can't answer your questions. At the same time, you got to work a little bit. You got to do a little bit of work. Some of the questions you should try to figure out. You should embrace a little bit of experience. I cannot give you a plug and play answer for things. And if you don't like my answer, why come onto a podcast and excoriate me for being, you know, not helpful to you after I helped you a couple times? So with that said, peace and blessings. I don't want anything other than your success. But at the same time, I'm also almost 50. I can't be holding everybody's hand all the time. I get a message from people, hey, I got your name from so-and-so and such and such. Give me a call. I need to pick your brain. I get that shit all the time. I'm not calling people up. I'd like to spend some time with you and pick your brain for my business. What? I'm not doing that. I get another guy saying, hey, I really like this knife. I need you to take a video of it so I can see what it looks like clockwise with the handle. No, I'm not doing that either. At certain circumstances...
This almost reminds me of what you've experienced before and expressed frustration about before with people just stopping by the shop. Like, you got nothing better to do than to visit with them and talk to them. They, like you said, like you've said before, they think, oh, you're just kind of fucking around and sometimes you sell some shit. But it's the same. Coming through the DMs or whatever is very similar to coming into the shop and just randomly stopping in and be like, hey, I got a question for you. And you think that all of a sudden...
Did I owe you something?
Oh, shit. You're here. I'm so glad you showed up. I'm going to drop everything I'm doing right now to answer you. I've had a lot of negative experiences, actually, with that in the past. And nobody's written any question about it, but a lot of people have been frustrated with me about that. And I'm just like... I have my own life. I have my own shit going on. I'm not here to answer all of your questions. That's part of actually why I started Patreon. So that basically I can afford, people are subsidizing me to take time away from my knife making and away from my life with my wife and my kid to answer their fucking questions.
I think we've done hundreds and hundreds of hours of this show now. So I think people, they get a bit of an insight into us. You know, we always start with the show with what we've been up to this week, and there's a lot of sort of personal stuff in there. And people feel maybe over familiar with us then, because, you know, we've never met, but they seem to, you know, there's a connection there, you know? Right. And it's quite normal. I mean, it's like when if we listen to radio and we have maybe a connection with a host or wherever it may be. But yeah, this isn't, you know, what this show is just such a tiny part of what we do. We've got lives, you know.
But it's,
we've got wives, families, and jobs.
I have
worries and all the rest of it, you know.
Let me give you the what happens at the shop. I have payroll to make. I have payroll to make every week. I have sales hacks I have to take care of. We have issues that in our shop that are really serious issues.
Yeah, and we have that monthly nut.
And we have to. That's right. You have to make the monthly nut.
The monthly nut.
You got to make the monthly nut. And the problem is there's also this weird, and I think it's a generational thing, because like it should take you a long time to learn things. You shouldn't be able to just expect someone is going to get. I'm not a concierge. You know, I'm not going to like, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you're not hailing a cab and I'm supposed to stop for you and I'll take you wherever you want. And it's like, and the crazy part is I help the guy and I help other people. I don't really, sometimes there are things I can't help, but if I can help and I'm in the, if I grab it at this time, I try to help. But it's like, well, for some reason, you liked my help before. And then you probably misconstrued how I, you know, email. I don't write the Magna Carta. I'll write it because it's too hard of a question. What type of contact wheel should I use for an S grind? That's a big ass question. And that we've answered on this podcast, and I don't really know. And it's like, you didn't like my answer, and I'm sorry. And I, like I said, peace and blessings to this guy. I wish you nothing but the best. You do not have to write me back. You do not have to write the podcast back. You don't have to fucking make a thing about it. I'm not going to try to make a psychological profile on you, which I've already have. but at the same time, I wish you nothing but the best. Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings.
Handled very well, Jeff. Yeah.
Peace and blessings.
People's expectations have changed massively because of social media and everybody having a phone in their pocket and so on. Remember the days where you'd ring somebody and you'd leave them a message?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you didn't get a response back in 7 minutes, you're not then ringing back again. What the fuck's going on? What the fuck?
Right.
But now we've all got these...
You mean before mobile phones?
But yeah, we've now before all got these things in our pocket that are just constantly... Yeah. Constantly prodding us, saying, oi, give me your attention. And we're used to it. And you know, I'm the same as well. You know, if we want, like, a customer service issue, you know, you email them or you DM them on whatever platform and, you know, you expect a response quickly. But generally, those are big corporations with teams of people who are there to reply to that. You know, for us, social media social media isn't our job, you know?
And it's right. And there's this strange, like I've had famous makers take pictures of my work, and I said, well, you know, you could buy the print, and they say, well, why would I take it? Why would I buy it when I can just take a picture? And I've also have helped people who have gone out of their way to be nice, and then they make my knives. So it's just like I think that I've availed myself. I would suggest that if you're going to send knife making questions. Send them to Knife Talk. Don't send them to Fader Knives. It might be Allison answering the question. She doesn't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, who knows? So, I mean, send knife-making questions to Knife Talk. And, you know, don't get upset. It's just, I feel bad. I feel bad for saying it. I feel bad for the whole thing. I was trying to be kind of Wally Lama and be, like, very understanding. I think that there is... This definite. I was listening to you know who's got a self-help book that I'm actually interested in getting, even though I hate self-help books. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was on Howard Stern this morning, and he was just talking about how hard it was for him to make it big, but at the same time, he really promoted himself and he worked harder than everybody else. He's like, I worked harder than everybody else. I was in the gym longer than everybody else. I worked harder. I prepared. I promoted movies I was in. I worked harder than everybody else. He's like, now that there's this kind of a softer generation who are like, they'll stay in bed and then they'll, you know, they'll give themselves a reason why they don't want to do something. And then I'm not responsible for your happiness. I'm not responsible.
They deserve it. They deserve it.
Listen, I am not responsible for anyone's happiness. I'm not responsible for their success or failures. I'm not responsible for their sadness either. If I can help, I'll help. But if I can't, you know, don't, you know, all of a sudden it's not like, let's call the police. It's just like, so we said enough. Peace and blessings to this guy. And I kept you anonymous because I care about your mental health, frankly. And I wouldn't want you to feel poorly about yourself, nor would I want you to feel humiliated in this arena. So I care about your mental health.
In this arena. You can tell you've been looking at self-help books.
No, I haven't.
In this arena.
In this arena. I don't want to say the fucking community. I can say the community or I can come up with another word. You know?
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Who wants to take the next one?
Somebody this else. Next one is from M3 Knives. He says, or they say, I make loveless style blades from CPM 154, which I am able to do a shit ton of pre-grinding on. Up to 400 grit. Hollow grinding, that is. But I just got a billet of 1084/15 and 20 Damascus that I want to use to make the same style blades. Should I quench at full thickness and go hard into grinding, or would you guys think I can do a bit of pre-grinding before quench? Using 5/32 a thick, 5/32 of an inch thick material and quenching in Parks 50 from my even heat kiln.
So 5/32 is a little bit bigger than an eighth.
Yeah, just over an eighth.
Just over an eighth.
Okay. Okay. Personally, I do. I say I do. I haven't done for a while. So an eighth. I mean, I wouldn't do any grinding before heat treat personally.
An eighth's bigger than what you use.
Yeah, but I'm still thinking an eighth is still...
It's like 3 mil.
3 mil. Yeah, that's still pretty thin. Still pretty thin. Personally, I wouldn't do any grinding. But, I mean, what do you guys think?
I think of that thinness. You can go either way, but you might be better off if you, depending on your quenching process. Like, if you have plates, like, fuck, might as well just keep it full thickness, heat treat it.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's doing the Damascus. Yeah,
well, you could still do plates.
He's quenching.
Yeah, so you can still
do
Parks 50 and then still do plates if he has plates. Maybe I don't have plates myself, so I would just quench in Parks 50. I think that's perfectly acceptable, for sure.
But would you take material off?
Like I said, I think you can go either way, really. I think it comes up down to your comfort zone. But because it's carbon steel and because it lacks the chrome content that CPM 154 has, it's going to grind like butter, basically, comparatively. Mm. And especially if he's doing hollow grinding, it's so much easier to grind on a contact wheel rather than flat grinding full thickness material. And even, again, already at 5/32, if you're flat grinding, then hollow grind, it's so easy. It's not that much material even really in the first place. Most loveless style knives are maybe 4-inch blade that are maybe an inch and a quarter wide. It's not a lot. I would say just go full thickness. That'll give you, the reason I would say go full thickness is it gives you buffer zone. It gives you buffer room and margin of error. I'm always trying wherever I can, I try to build in room basically for making mistakes. And so if you heat treat at full thickness, you got tons of room to do any kind of corrective grinding or straightening and stuff like that before you get down to your finish dimensions. Whereas if you ground beforehand, you're kind of limiting where you get to go afterwards. So I would just keep it full thickness, personally. What do you think, Jeff?
I mean, I usually take a little bit of material off. But you made a good point. I didn't really... those loveless knives are very short or small. I might take a little bit of the material off, but I mean, I would go with what Mareko says. I generally take a little bit of material off unless it's very, very thin. But 5/32 is not very thin to me. I might even just try to like start the hollow grind just so I have a chase way to start in when after the grind.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I'm like, whatever Mareko says is fine by me.
Yeah, well, and I guess the people's concern is like they're not going to get the blade quenched down cool enough, and that's probably part of his concern here.
Right,
he's not going to get it quenched in time because CPM 154 is a deeper hardening steel. It takes you have a larger window from when you have it really hot to when you need it below whatever 500 degrees or whatever, and versus 1080 at the combination 1080 415 and 20 Damascus. But still, something to keep in mind when you look at any of the heat treating charts that you see out of either Knife Engineering, which is Dr. Laren Thomas's book, or elsewhere, is that those charts are based off of 1-inch diameter steel rod. Mm. It's not based off of 5/32 thick flat stock. It is based off of 1-inch steel rod. So the difference between how quickly a 5/32 thick piece of material that's maybe it's 1.25 inches, maybe at the most, and 4 inches long for the blade, that is going to quench way faster than a 1-inch diameter steel rod, right? And so that's something that I think maybe a lot of people don't really either remember. I actually even forget it often myself when I'm looking at these. I'm like, God, this seems like a tight window. But then I'm like, oh yeah, my blade dimension, the cross-sectional thickness of my knife is way, 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 way thinner than a fucking 1-inch steel rod.
Jeez,
right?
Yeah. And when you're holding at temperatures too,
right?
Let's say hold for 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that soak is happening so much quicker on something thin.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
So.
Wow. Okay.
Did it.
Did it.
Did it. Next.
Ian Jackart says, here's your question. I'm going to enter my practicum for teaching technology and design next term. Do you guys think it's safe or possible to have high school kids making chef knives in a public school metal shop? There's a forge and a couple of anvils. And here's the context. I was thinking of keeping the knives, then sharpening and delivering them to the parents afterwards. Regardless, do you think it would go south too quickly? I've had a request from previous students. We also only get $5 funding per student each term, and I have old leaf springs I can make. I've made effective shop tools from. Otherwise, I'll do a jewelry making scrap copper and pennies. I know that there are a lot of young students who would join blades making courses from some amazing makers, and it seems like it would work out fine. I'm located in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Mm, that's just north of me. It's like 4 hours north.
Are you that close to Vancouver? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Huh.
Did you?
I mean, I didn't know. No, I mean, I didn't realize you were that close. No.
No, I didn't.
No, yeah, man. I'm about as that close to Montreal.
Yeah, I'm about 4 hours.
I'm five.
Very close.
Wow. I mean, well, first of all, what's a practicum? Is that next to the scrotum?
Yeah, right near the perineum. The practicum.
Perineum. The practicum. I'm going to enter my practicum, and I'm thinking, oh, where's this going?
Yeah.
It's the curriculum for the class, probably.
Yeah, or a finger.
Okay.
Upcoming for like the next term or whatever.
Yeah, one in the pink. And then, okay.
I would suggest keep it small. And, you know, honestly.
If you're going to enter that practicum, keep it small.
Keep it small, keep it tight.
Oh, my God. Guys, we're getting into on chartered territory here. There's children involved.
Oh, geez.
Just calm the fuck down.
No,
calm down. Oh, okay.
Most All people's right. go-to knife is a smaller knife.
Okay.
Honestly, like, my go-to knife is, I love my 5-inch utility knife. So maybe keep it around that size. 5-inch utility, 4-inch paring knife, something like that. Nothing that's not too big and pointy and maybe intimidating. And I think it's smart to keep it, the concept around it, as a kitchen knife or a culinary knife. And that way, you should be able to get, if you spent money on steel, you should be able to get tons of blades out of $5 worth of or whatever, you know, that much material. Even if it was like 1/8-inch material, that'd be a perfect size for a utility or a paring knife, I would think.
What do you think, Craig?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, high school, what's high school in the US? What age?
15 to 16, 17.
Mm.
Oh, right. Okay. I couldn't see it ever happening in the UK. It just seems fraught with possible
problems.
Problems, yeah, to me.
Yeah, there's a few things that are not teaching blacksmithing is very scary because you can't keep your eyes on everybody. So things happen, and things that you don't think will happen happen. Like the tongs get too hot, and then they burn themselves on their tongs that are too hot. You know, there are things that happen that are sometimes they're out of your control, and I would imagine you would need an exorbitant amount of safety procedures in there, like preparing these kids for. Don't walk around the shop holding the knife, hot knife out of the forge and to show me, you know, that there's a lot of like safety things that should definitely be addressed. I would be very, very cautious about the space. That's one of the things about the Center for Mental Arts. The space is perfect. No one's crowded. No one's packed in. There's lots of room. It's the space is very conducive to a safe environment where nobody's on top of each other. No one's crossing over each other. You're not trying to reach out to the the teacher, and there's hot steel all over the place. There, it's something that has to be taken very, very seriously, because that first kid who comes home with a burn with the wrong parent, you're gonna have a call. You can have a call. Your practicum is going to get brought in. Trust me. So, I mean, I would just be very concerned with understanding the physical mechanics of the minutia of teaching a class to kids, you know, under 18 kids.
So when I was going to high school, actually, I only live a few blocks from the high school that I went to, but we had a course there, and it was basically kind of along the lines of this, like metal fabrication, what did they call it exactly? They called it material sciences. And they did have forges and anvils and other tools. And in that class, they're melting down little crucibles of metal, because he's talking about doing copper work and doing other jewelry stuff. So they're probably already, and he said they already have a forge in the question. They got a forge and they got a couple anvils. So they probably already have procedures around how to use that stuff properly. They also probably have to sign some sort of waivers, because I remember even when I took wood shop, we had to sign waivers that said, I understand that these are dangerous tools if used improperly. Or if the proper safety procedures aren't taken or precautions are taken into consideration, I could cut my fucking hand off or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And even honestly, in the wood shop, there are hand saws, chisels, there are all kinds of shit all over the fucking place. They could even just wood awls, you could really fuck somebody up with a wood awl, right?
But here's the question: do you hear about metal shops in the United States anymore in high school?
They still have one at the high school that I went to. And they have oxyacetylene torches that they're working with in there. They're using
in your
stuff.
High school?
Yes. So they have, because they already have that stuff in play, I guarantee they already have safety procedures around it. So he's not saying that he's wanting to start a whole new class that's bringing all this stuff to it.
The equipment's there. So
his equipment's already there. He's talking about just bringing knife forging into it. And I'm sure they already do other kind of, probably, I would be surprised if they didn't even just do like regular blacksmithing in that shop where they're forging like J-hooks and stupid shit like and scrolls and shit.
It's harder and harder to find.
It's taking it to another level by making a knife out of it.
It's harder and harder to find metal shop classes in high schools and junior high schools and even, you know, sculptural art classes.
Sure.
In the Northeast. And a lot of it is the liability.
Right.
So, you know, obviously, give them hell. Go for it. But just what I would be, if you're trying to pitch it, you have to pitch the idea of incredible safety. I mean, let's face it.
For
some
sure.
of these high school kids are eating fucking Tide Pods. You know, it's you're not talking about, like, you're not talking, we're not talking about, like, you know, Einstein Jr. You know, some of these kids are going to be like, I had a kid who was out of high school, he wanted to know what it was going to feel like to touch the bandsaw blade. You got to watch these motherfuckers. Like, I'm not kidding. You got to watch these motherfuckers like a hawk. You know, and you know, I would go for it, but just don't be too idealistic. Be realistic about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I do think that the culinary knife thing, though, the kitchen knife of some sort, is the way to frame it, rather than like an outdoor right. use knife or right. you know, like a bushcrafting knife or any basically any other kind of knife. A kitchen but knife is pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
and I would do typically not very threatening to people.
Culinary knife, and then you go something small. You don't want to have these kids starting off with like 8-inch chef knives that they never forged something before.
No,
you know, make something like a, you know, like a little paring knife that you for mom or dad, and yep. you know, that's the move.
Yep.
Eh, go for it.
Okay, well, you're in Canada, so if you have got a $5 budget, get yourself over to maritimeknifesupply.com. The other one-stop shop for knife makers, steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns, and more. Yeah, Canadian distributor for combat abrasives and Rhino Wet and Rhino Stick, everything that we talk about. They've got it, maritimeknifesupply.com.
Lawrence was at fucking Maker Camp. It was so good to see him. You know,
are you talking fake in the past?
Fake future. Sorry.
Fake future.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fake future.
Okay.
Lawrence Lake. Okay. Yeah, Lawrence Lake's going to be there, and I heard that Noah Vachon's going to be there too. So I'm very excited to meet Noah.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah, that'll be really cool.
That thing they got up to together, I'm shocked. Shocked yeah. to the core.
What?
The particulum.
Oh, yeah.
The
no, particulum. I heard about that actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the practicums.
The perineum. Right. You read the next one, Craig, from
question here, guys. Are there any tips or tricks to getting a nice dark etch on a forged finish? It would be 1095 specifically. I've got a Go My Blade and I would like to leave the forge finished on the flats.
Okay.
I'm a bit concerned about how the etch will turn out due to decal.
Right.
I'm guessing coffee is the best bet.
Go ahead.
I figured I would check with the pros. Thanks, sincerely, Mike Ropine.
Is that what you were giggling about, you little
what
maniac?
What a child I am. That was like, I noticed that earlier, yeah.
We got a lot of good... Our listeners are the best.
They're the best.
Are they the best?
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one before. Mike Ropine.
Oh, we got some new ones. We got some new ones. We got some real new ones.
It's like along the lines of Michael Hunt. But normally my friends call me Mike.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Micropine. Okay. any tips or tricks to getting a nice dark edge on a forged finish? 1095 specifically. I've got a Go My Blade and I would like to leave the forge finished on the flats.
It's a good point that you mentioned 1095 because 1095 has a tendency to be on the silvery side.
Yep. It does. It's because it lacks the manganese content. It's a shallower hardening steel. And so manganese, which are typically found in 1075 and 1080 or 1084 or even 1085, that makes the knives a little bit deeper hardening, but not by much. But 1095 is typically almost nothing in regards to manganese. And so it does have a tendency to etch basically gray. If you are wanting black on the outside, 1095 is not the way to go. And maybe it's what you got, but maybe it's not the way to go. Now, on a brute deforge, the concern is going to be the decarb. Probably what I would try to do, it's not guaranteed to work, but I would use phosphoric acid, which you can get over at like the local Lowe's or Home Depot. It's typically sold as a concrete and metal paint prep acid. So you usually put it on there and it opens up the surface. And so that helps to clean off the decarb. Because if this is a culinary knife, which I'm assuming it would be, or I don't know, maybe I'm assuming wrongly. But anyways, you want all that forged scale off. Now, if it's an outdoor or hard use knife of some sort, that one that's not going to necessarily come into contact with food very often, I wouldn't be worried about the decarb. And actually, you might be able to rely on some of that decarb to create some of your dark contrast or that darkness on the cladding. But I'd clean it off with the phosphoric acid, and then I would follow it with coffee. And if you do hot coffee, That should help make it nice and dark. Also, boiling in baking soda water will help to darken up blades. But it has to like boil in the baking soda water for a long period of time or soak in there. I don't have a lot of experience with that, but I've seen some really cool results in that. Actually, Zoe Potter had some blades at Blade Show this last year, and they were super dark. And it was, there was no, I think there was ferric for depth, but then they were cleaned, and then there were baking soda bath, hot baking, like a boiling baking soda bath to darken the blade up. And the results were pretty rad. Go check out Potter Cutlery, Potter Cutlery. So go check out Zoe's work. That's really good stuff.
There you go.
Nice.
We have lots of feedback we have to get to.
Yeah, let's hear it. I want to hear it.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
Do we have any ads to read or?
We'll go. Well, I'll tell everybody about Texas Power Supply. They sell Indasa Rhinoet, which is the sandpaper. If you want to save time, that's the sandpaper you want to be using. None of this shitty stuff. Use the best stuff, Indasa Rhinoet. They sell it at Texas Power Supply, as well as anything else you could possibly need. You can get 10% off your entire order at texasfirersupply.com. Fill up that cart and use Knife Talk 10 and get that 10% discount.
And November 11th is the JDCK and TFS Hammer-In. It's at...
rolls off the tongue.
It's the Texas Ferry Supply. At Texas Ferry Supply is going to be a Hammer-In, so go check them out, 100%.
Cool.
Our listener feedback. Guys, if you want to interact with the show, DM Knife Talk, not our personal accounts, but Knife Talk. And then we will, it's the easy place for us to grab the questions or dilemmas or feedback and plug it into our shared notes. So this first episode, so you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, that's where we're at. So Dustin Sheffield, our buddy Dustin Sheffield says, went for a welding test at work and I wore my KTP favorites for good luck. I had my favorite shirt from Fader Knives. I had my favorite hat from Moreco's Smith & Bard line. And of course, I had my favorite from Chop Knives merch, the Lockwood Merkin. Congratulations on three. he had a puby mess. All right. Congratulations on 300. Hope to get to cheers you all from the Dam of Steel Invitational again this coming year, which your biggest fan, his name is Sax. Second name is Yule. And the last name is Reference. Sexual reference, okay? That was a stretch, but God bless you. God bless you. He tried to, he really spaced it out in this beautiful way. It's almost like this person's from like Africa or something like that. I don't know what it was. It was awesome. The Canton Cutler, my brother, our buddy from the Canton Cutler says, listener mentioned last week that they were retouching stonewash finishes. How do you touch up a stonewash finish? This is a great one. The Fay Blades that I make, that's his name, as a side hustle, all I have is stonewash finish. Customers send them back for tune-up whenever they like. I take electric tape on the choils, then wrap paper towel and masking tape around the rest of the handle. I sandblast them to make sure that the even surface finish, then I whack them in the tumblers before they come out looking brand new. Then you just got to tidy up the spines with 800 and that classic wax on the handle, and then they're out good as new. So you can touch up. Apparently, people are basically not far from what we were saying. But before you do the stone rush, I got a feeling you do have to give it a dose of acid and go to Matt Gentry for that. Jordan Kepler, our friend Jordan Kepler says, hey guys, another thought on practicing protecting designs and dealing with people stealing ideas. I like to have the mentality of protecting ideas with, quote, marketing. I get a lot of us can get make great knives, but why does someone decide to buy yours? It's something I strive for every time I go to shows, how I interact with people and give them the real reason to trust and like me. Even if someone were to take my exact design and replicate it to a T, it won't have my maker's mark and my story behind it, and they can all suck it if they prefer a knockoff. Your friend, Dick Liquor. So
we're scraping the barrel of some of these.
Yeah, we're sitting at the bottom of the bowl.
This is a good one. So, I mean, yeah, so listen, I tell you what, once again, I hate that Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't know shit about knives or swords, as we know.
As we know, yeah.
As we know. But he's got good, he said that what he was saying was you got to, if you have a product or a company or a podcast or anything, you have to promote it. He said that in the 70s and the 80s, these actors refused to promote their projects. And what happened was nothing happened. If you have something and you don't promote it, it might as well not even be there. But definitely Arnie was good. Speedster Sove says, greetings. Great listener listener feedback. One sentence. He says, you're the real Slim Shady. Hello again. Some of my thoughts on inspired versus influence, and I'll go down the whole thing. Regarding influence, we're influenced all day, every day, by everything around us. Today's clothes I decided to put on were influenced by the weather and what was the wardrobe. Also, it can be unwittingly influenced. Craig mentioned that a couple episodes ago. Influence can be negative. There are also bad influences in school. Let's face it, neither of these terms have anything to do with copying, which is exactly and nothing else. Cheers. Michael Scott Wood and wife Ophelia.
Michael Scott definitely would. And I don't know, but yeah.
And definitely Ophelia would. Okay, gotcha. Okay, P.S. Continue being a positive influence. I'm not making a Serbian chef knife anytime soon. We have a few more. It's up to you. It was a little bit more on the influence and everything else, but I think how about we go with Robert Pierce? Here's a thought and question only the number one knife related podcast can answer. Last week you briefly touched upon shop cleaning and closing checklists. My shop is my garage at home. And like I'm guessing the majority of knife makers in the last year or so, I've seen several IG posts of shop fires, close calls, and complete losses, which has had me take a closer look in terms of how I set up and process. I found I have a plug strip behind the grinder and open plugs filling with debris, and I wasn't cleaning the shop after shaping wood handles on my guitars and my grinder and starting a new knife. With all the sparks coming out of the rest on the wood dust piles, I have since replaced the plug strips and build shrouds that gave myself a blah, 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 blah. Do you have advice on dust collection, dust separators, and the general consideration for shop safety? Might be a good topic for listener feedback, too.
Yeah. But those plug strips, I've had that in the past, and that you just put them away and you forget about them. They are just a magnet for those, you know, those little tiny bits of, you know, those little iron filings, I suppose, you know, those little grind dust. And obviously that's super, super dangerous because you could short and all the rest of it. And he made a point about the other thing as well, about, you know, wood dust, any sparks on that, it won't really be immediate. It could smolder for hours and hours and hours before a flame would start. So that does scare the life out of me. But yeah, I mean, with regards to, you know, what I do, because I generally work in a batch, so if I'll do all of the wood, all handles if I'm doing wood, then I'll clean that up, you know, so I just carry on doing wood for a number of days, then clear all that up before that, and I go to steel. But I can understand how people are doing, when they're doing, you know, one knife at a time, and they're back and forth all the time. Yeah, you need to have some sort of schedule the way you're keeping things tidy there, definitely.
Yeah, in my shop, my grinding area is isolated. And even if I had my workshop in my garage, I would build at least a little booth of some sort to help isolate the dust, because the dust from the handle sculpting and from the steel just gets everywhere into everything, and not only just general mess, but it can potentially become an issue of a source for a fire to start. So. And part of the reason I would want to isolate it is to have some sort of fan as well, ventilating the air out of the shop and out of that little space. And that's how my grinding room is set up right now. It's probably about 10 by 10, and it's enclosed. It has two doors, one that's the main door that comes into the shop and through the grinding room, and then out another door into the rest of the shop. And right now, the door that I... enter in to get into the shop in the grinding room, I have one of those fire retardant blankets right next to my grinders that help kind of isolate the grinding area. And I have a fan, a big giant squirrel cage fan that pulls air out through. And so I'm basically standing in a wind tunnel when I have the fan going, and it's pulling out a lot of the fine particulate, the larger stuff, whether it's the steel dust or even, you know, the wood dust and just abrasive in general that might be coming off, goes into a quench bucket, kind of like that catches or catch bucket that's right underneath my grinder. And so all of those things, and there's still a fucking mess in there, but I find that having that air circulating out, and it's a really powerful fan, so it's moving tons of air, really helps to get some, especially the fine particulates, out of the shop. But routine cleaning is, I think, is very clutch.
Yeah. Something else I don't think we've actually mentioned on the show, whereas we're all using, you know, paper towels or rags, whatever it may be, and maybe using waxes and chemicals and oils. Mm-hmm. So if you're putting them in the bin or trash can, as you guys would call it, make sure it's got a lid on it, because it only takes one little spark to end up in that bin, and these oils and so on, where they'll just go up. You know, there's no hanging about there. So yeah, just make sure your bins are covered as well.
Well, I think an OSHA certified shops or workspaces, they're technically supposed to be, all the bins are supposed to be metal, and yeah, it has to have a lid, because some of those, depending on what they are and if they can combine and mix of the solvents or like gases or whatever, off gassing from them can spontaneously combust. You don't even need a spark. Will catch fire.
You think if OSHA showed up at any one of our listeners or our shops,
we'd be fucked.
You think they'd be looking for the fucking? You think the garbage can would be the one that stopped them all?
No.
You know, like the inspector comes in and he's just like,
"I just one more thing for them to ding you for."
Oh my god, that's like the last, that's like the end of the fucking marathon for that fucking inspector. The end of the inspector. You know, one of the things that I learned when working metal shops is that, generally speaking, unless you're working with other people in a shop, you never really realize that you're supposed to aim a right angle grinder. When you're using right angle grinders, you have you can fucking rooster tail all over the shop. You should send sparks everywhere. So. And when you start to work with other people, you realize that there's, especially with the guards on, you actually should be considering aiming the sparks. And one of the things I notice is, you know, you one guy gets, you know, zapped, and then you realize, all right, I got to change my angle. I know that I've seen people in a grinding area where they're just shooting the sparks right into a outlet, and then they kind of like, they start to build. They build on the outlet. Next thing you know, they spark over, and then they short the whole place out. I think that's really good. I have a couple of those lidded cans I got from some sort of art supply store or something and I try to get rid of all my garbage once a week at least. But I had Nick Rossi on the shop, and we were talking about shop safety, and I should really clean the shop up some more. I was really like, I'm not this, the place, we've been hauling ass, and it's like we're in it's a dumpster fire right now, and I have to like really worry. Oh, speaking of dumpster fires, years ago, when I went to teach a workshop at Doghouse Forge, they had in the facility that they had dumpsters, and all the people in the area would put their stuff in the dumpsters, a lot of paper and stuff like that. And there were people who would come around to kind of like raid the dumpsters for maybe scrap or something like that. And this, I showed up to the shop, it was the first 5 minutes of being in the shop. I was, you know, spending a little time with Jonathan. We heard some smoke. We smelled some smoke. We went outside and the dumpster was on fire. Somebody had smoked a cigarette and dropped a cigarette into the dumpster. And there's a great picture on the Full Blast Podcast Instagram page where Jonathan is putting the dumpster fire out. And it was like, welcome to Florida. You know, it was like a really unbelievable, but that shit happens, man. That shit happens.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Good question on that one. Before we go on, I've got an update from Dharmasteel. There's a certain number of you doing the Dharmasteel build along where we've all had the same bit of Dharmasteel, which is the premium stainless Damascus. And we're going to submit it for the DCI, which is the Dharma Seal Chef Invitational. We do have an end date, which is November the 10th. So get your submissions off to them, which is dci@dharmasteel.com. Get those pictures off to them as soon as you can. November 10th is the last day they will take submissions. And remember, there are two prizes. We'll be picking a winner, and Dharma Steel will be picking a winner as well. And get sharing. So hashtag Dharma Steel Build Along. Get sharing what you're making. But remember, we want that one epic image to be emailed at dci@dharmasteel.com, which will be submitted to hopefully become a winner. Dharma Steel, we love working with them. We got that Chef Invitational show coming up. The time is ticking down. And head on over to dharmasteel.se. Look at the kind of stuff they've got. I say it's premium stuff. They are Dharma Steel AB on Instagram as well. Have a look at the type of stuff people are making with it. It's all high-end, beautiful. So if you want to make something special, this is the stuff to use. Dharmasteel.se.
I've seen two of the submissions, and they all really look good. The two I've seen, it look really good. Yeah, really good.
Nice. Okay, cool.
I have a couple last ones. This is listener feedback. This is actually a good one. This is talking about stonewash finish. This is from Micah Dunn. He says, here's an old, you know what you should do. Put WD-40 in the tumbler instead of water, just enough to get the media wet. It works great. No worrying about dealing with water and steel. Throw the whole blade in with the handle, and it isn't bad either. G10 carbon fiber and some hardwoods won't be affected by certain medias. This is a funny one. This is, we were talking about names. We were talking about gator piss from our friends at Baker Forge and Tool. And this Chandler Knife says, for Jeff, I went to a knife show on Saturday, and a gentleman was showing me his knives and teaching me how to prep to get a better etch. And then his kid, Chandler's Knife, says to the guy, do you use gator piss? And the man, the knife maker, goes, yes. So it was this great, like, you know, it's a secret, you know, use. The kid knows all about it. Everyone knows about gator piss. And ask these motherfuckers if they use gator piss or not and see what the reaction is. It's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You know, I've just put the Dharma Steel Build Along hashtag into Instagram. And wow, there's a few there that are looking absolutely stunning. There's TW_knives_ from Alberta. Wow, that's a stunning knife you've got there. So yeah, it's going to be exciting seeing all these coming in. And there's probably a dozen or so now people are working on. And we know there's a lot more. So people, get sharing.
What is it? Is Dharma Steel Build Along?
Hashtag Dharma Steel Build Along. Okay. Yes, yeah. Okay, let's take another question then.
Right.
Where are we?
Greg, this is for you.
Greg,
under micropine.
Under micropine, Greg Kuntz.
Yep.
How do you guys get your customers to care for their knives well and not bitch to you when they don't? When there's an order coming through on the email, I have a link to a video that I did years back now, just explaining the difference between carbon steel and stainless and basic stuff, how to care, you know, no dishwasher, how to store them, that kind of stuff. That link is in packaging that I send as well. Whether people see them, because people generally don't read, you know, once you place an order, you're not then reading through the stuff that replies back to you. I don't know. So I put the stuff out there, and I hope people, you know, read it. I've had a couple of cases where that hasn't happened. But on the whole, when people come to a custom knife maker, they're generally clued up a bit. Generally clued up a bit more than the average person. But you can't rely on that. And as I do far, far less one-to-one orders now, you know, minor or bigger orders for restaurants, that kind of thing, that's easier to do because, you know, they want to know how to care for the knives. That's part of the deal. But one-to-one, yeah, I said there's a video and people can go to that video. But I'm sure most people don't, let's face it.
You got to be real careful on how people – you have to gauge certain people. You'll get the person be like, I know how to care for all my carbon steel knives. They're the ones you got to worry about because they're the ones who are trying to impress you as opposed to just being honest. And you will find that people don't listen. They don't care. You'll tell them something and then they'll forget about it. And then they'll ask you why this happened. And then you'll kind of have to figure out a customer service way of telling them, I told you. And it's just, you know, it's like the Tide Pod people, you know, you're just never gonna, you're gonna hit some dingers, you know, you're gonna hit some dingers and you're gonna strike out.
Is that a certain branch of people out, the Tide Pod people?
I mean, let's face it. I mean, there's some bullshit out there. There's some, you know, you cannot control people. You cannot allow people. People will not do what you ask them to do a lot of times. So you have to just be accepting. You have to be like, you're the cork on the water. You have to let the water take you where it needs to go. Mm. You can't fight the water sometimes.
Jeez, more self-help.
That's right. Fucking Wally Lama. Wally Lama, bitch.
Did Schwarzenegger say, you are the water?
No. He said, I mean, I don't really feel like buying. My wife told me, you don't read. So that was another, like, I can't bring in a book from fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger if I haven't read a book in years.
It's got to be an audio book with Arnie reading it as well.
There is one apparently, but I can't bring myself to it. But, you know.
Yeah.
So what do you do, Mareko? How do you make these people understand?
I try to nip it in the bud right away by, when I was doing more custom orders, by making it part of my spiel when I would have the back and forth with them. So just letting them know, like, because this knife, this Damascus is made out of carbon steel, this is the stuff that's going to happen to it over time in use. It's just a natural part of it. And then I also offer reassure them that I offer a spa treatment kind of situation for the knives, where they can send the knives back in and I can clean them back up and all that kind of stuff. But also along with that, that was before the knife's even built, just talking about having a knife built. And then when I mailed the knife out, along with the certificate of authenticity, and honestly, what probably would be smarter is to put it on the certificate of authenticity, because right now they're separate sheets, but have a care sheet that talks about, again, reiterating that the knife is made out of carbon steel and it develops a patina over time and use and blah, 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 and how to, best practices for taking care of it and how to prevent patina or clean it up if it builds one up and all that kind of shit. But I think because my knives are a little bit more expensive, people are a little bit more careful. Now, it's not guaranteed. I've seen, like, I did a refurb job or a spa day on a Santoku just a few months ago. That motherfucker was beat to shit, but I brought it back. But even as much as you can do, you can't fucking hold people's hands. Right. That's really what it comes down to. You can talk to them and explain to them and show them videos and all that shit until you're blue in the face. People are still going to do whatever the fuck they're going to do. And part of it, especially when it comes to carbon steel knives, it's just like, it's a habitual thing. People don't have habits around taking care of carbon steel knives. They're used to, like, the shitty stainless production stuff that they get at, like, the whatever Lowe's or not Lowe's, but like Ross or some shit, like big box stores. And
we got you.
So that's what they're used to, and so you kind of have to, like, it's almost like try your best to re-educate them kind of in a way, but at the same time, at the end of the day, they're still gonna do what they're gonna do. And so I just try to take care of that knife because I know it's coming down the road. All my knives, somewhere down the road, knife's gonna come back. It's gonna come back looking like dog shit, and I'm gonna do my best, take care of it. And I usually do. It looks great after that. Definitely takes a little bit of elbow grease, but again, I just try to send it back. And then hopefully, when they get it back, they're like, "Oh my god, it looks brand new all over again." Then they're going to be a little bit more careful that time around.
They're probably still going to do
whatever the bullshit they're going to do.
They know you're going to.
They know you're going to bring this. Send it back to you. Tide pot it up. Unbelievable. I have a question about the certificate of authenticity.
Yes, sir.
How do you authenticate the certificate of authenticity? Does it go somewhere?
Yeah, I have a. I go get it notarized.
Are you kidding?
No, I should though.
Oh, jeez.
It's me. I'm the motherfucker that can certify that it's actually made. I'm the maker.
Of course.
I'm in the position of authority to authorize that.
You don't need a fucking notarize. You don't need to notarize your authenticity.
To certify that it is what it is.
Yeah, you're saying, this is mine. I did this.
Yeah.
That's it. Authenticated.
Yeah.
That's it.
Authenticated.
There you go. Authenticated.
Boom. Done.
JD Eiler says, I have a boring question. Or let's skip it then. Mike Poor says, do makers have a responsibility to block spammers from following them? Immediately after commenting on certain makers' posts, I get followed by the Pakistani knife mafia. So, do makers have a responsibility to block spammers from following them? Immediately after commenting on certain makers' posts, I get followed by Pakistani knife mafia. Thanks, Maya Judik. Maya Jukak. I don't know what that one is. My huge cock. That's what it is. My huge cock.
Huge cock.
That's it, Mike. Mike, that was a tough one. That was a stretch.
That's what she said. Make it bigger.
And speaking of, JD Eiler's our guy, but I mean, we just cannot end the show on an insurance question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why is this idiot bothering me? That's what we're
thinking. No, JD's the man. JD's got a show called Out of the Woods.
Out of the Woods.
Nice. Well, you know, I can tell everybody about Knife Print. It's amazing. So more and more people are doing sort of CAD work, and they're using, you know, CNCs, all that kind of stuff. And if you're going to use that, you're going to need some drawings, some digital drawings, which would be CAD. Now, Knife Print is CAD in the browser, so you don't have to, you know, download any software, pay license fees, that are crazy fees, nothing like that. It's all done in the browser at knifeprint.com. You design knives, you can save them, you can make edits to them and that kind of thing. Print them out so you've got templates, or you can press print and they will either laser jet cut it or water jet cut out of steel. You pick the stock that you want, the size, the type, and they'll send them in the post. So it's a hell of a service. Knifeprint.com. Go take a look. If you've never done CAD before, it's super, super simple. They've got a really good education center in there where, you know, they can guide you through it. There's special tools that are only specific for knife making, which are only available on knifeprint.com. So yeah, go take a look. Knifeprint.com.
Mike's question, do you guys block spammers?
Yes. Mike, by the way, is Red Dragon Forge on Instagram. But yeah, whenever I can, whether they comment on my... I'm sure you guys have seen this when you post something and then somebody's like, wow, that's a great knife, commenting. And then some ding-dong follows up immediately saying, oh, I've got some. Send me a DM. Whenever I see that on my work or other people's work, I immediately am like, a message to the original person. I'm like, that person is full of shit. They don't have anything. It's a fucking scam. Please ignore them. I hope you didn't message them already and block their fucking ass. And I, if it's my account, I delete the comment and block them. And if it's somebody else's account, I report the comment. It annoys me so much. I report the comment as spam. And then I block them as well.
Do you block a lot of people?
I block a lot of people.
Seriously, I'm not being a joke. Like, how many people do you think you block a day?
I think yesterday I blocked like 5 people.
Wow.
Were they all scammers or were some of them just annoying?
They're all scammers.
Do you block? Now, what's your blocking regimen for annoying people?
Do you give them low.
Is it low?
Yeah, it is.
Do you give them the benefit of the doubt? Where do they have to go?
I've been trying to do a better job of giving people the benefit of the doubt. And
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But yeah. I just try to, yeah. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They're not coming from a weird or negative place. Or just like try to help if I can. If I can't, I'm sorry if I didn't get back to your question.
What's your rule of thumb for erasing a comment and not blocking? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Here's an example. I'll post something from Fader Knives about knives, about the knives that I'm trying to sell to non-knife talk people.
Sure.
And someone will do one of our foul comments.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're trying to be funny. And here's the funny thing about knife talk, knife makers. They ask us for business advice. and then they fuck around with our businesses. That's the one thing that like I never can figure out. Like, don't start, you know, doing dick jokes on someone's business account. I mean, that's just like seems like it's common sense. Be helpful. So I will not block the person, but I will definitely, if all of a sudden it says, you know, like, you know, something to do with like who, what, take your pick, I'll erase the comment. Whatever, it'll, somebody will say something and it'll be like something gross,
yeah,
like, but in the wrong arena. Back to arena.
Somebody thinks they're being cute,
they're being like the wink and the nod, I'm a knife talk guy, but it's like there's a time and place. I'm trying to do business here. I'm not trying to, you know. So I'll erase the comment, but I won't block them because I think they're just trying to, they're not trying to be
hurtful. I think that's a mistake. You got to start blocking them.
Really? Yeah. So I got to start blocking
you put
knife
the fear
talk
in
listeners.
These motherfuckers.
Wow. Should I do that?
I've had a few of them. People, I don't know. Like, it's just, the thing is, I don't know if they're knife talk listeners or not, but when people start saying stupid shit on my posts, I'm like, nope, bye.
Wow. Well, you know, one of your biggest fans, was Maximus Knives,
yeah,
years ago.
We saved
Neil
him.
Warren. You had blocked him years ago, and he came on and he begged for forgiveness, and we convinced you to unblock him, and now you're friends.
Yeah,
live on air.
Repentance.
We saved his ass. And then he said something goofballed anyway, and we're just like, we just have to give him the old Tide Pod treatment. I mean, what can you do? I mean, it's like, he's a Tide Pod guy. He just says dumb things, and that's just, you know, he eats Tide Pods. It's okay. Everything's fine.
No, he's a good guy. I also try to remember, I say stupid shit every once in a while, which is actually quite often. So,
has anyone blocked you?
I'm sure. Oh, I know of at least a couple makers who have blocked me.
I know someone who's blocked me and Craig and not Mareko.
Oh, I know who that person is too.
I ain't gonna talk about
really?
It.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Can you see who?
Yeah, if
you
go
then,
to their thing and it says no posts here. Yeah, it doesn't exist. Yeah, you and I have been blocked by someone, and Mareko, the golden child, never gets blocked. The fucking golden child. This is my favorite bit of all time. For years, he's been the golden child. Everyone,
somehow.
So keep your fuck. It's eggshells. Yeah. Walk on eggshells because you never know. But and then Fleabag, Craig, and me, we get fucking the boot.
That's
the, actually, we should head into the after show. But the funniest part of this podcast is when Craig started this podcast, it was just Craig. And then he brought Mareko and I on it. We're talking about 5 years ago. And when Mareko and I came on, you know, Mareko was just off of Joe Rogan. He, you know, he spoke the way he spoke. He said fuck a lot. I said fuck
a
lot. I think it was even. I think at the beginning we both really let loose. And I think that we kind of also worked. I think that we kind of bingo, bangle, bongled off each other to the point where we were both saying fuck quite a bit. But it was neck and neck. I think it was neck and neck.
Yeah.
The complaints we would get would
I was
always
possibly
be,
more.
Possibly more. I was trying to be generous.
For Jeff.
I was
always
I was
Jeff.
Trying to be generous, but they would always come after me. And I always felt like yeah, the golden child. He's get the golden child. He said the same goddamn things I said, but you never say a goddamn word about the golden child. It's just me. And I kinda liked that. But at the same time I was just like, yeah, give him something. You know, help me out here. But everyone's too chicken. And this guy that we know, that we'll talk about in the after show, blocked me and Craig and not you, which is just like chicken shit. As chicken shit.
Well, he's the goat. He's got a platen named after
that's,
him. For God's
that's
sake.
True.
Exactly.
Oh, where can you hear about this platen?
Well, I just got back from Maker Camp, as you guys know. It was a great weekend. I probably drank too much. Let's get some predictions real quick. Probably going to drink too much.
No, don't drink too much.
Probably going to smoke a few too many cigarettes.
No cigarettes for you. I'm not. If I see you smoking cigarettes, I'm going to slap it out of your hand. You're not allowed to smoke cigarettes. I saw you the last time smoking cigarettes. I'm against it. Don't smoke
cigarettes.
Yeah,
and you told me live my life because John was giving me a hard time. He's like, let him live his life.
You're a much more imposing person in real life. But at the same time, you did give me the fucking double dragon. You sucked this thing and you snorted it out your nose.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But Don, I don't want you smoking this weekend.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I don't want you to smoke.
It's like a married couple.
No, that's true. I'm
so
going to be.
I didn't
the
do any
guy.
Smoking this weekend.
Don't smoking for work.
Every time, Jeff was right there slapping him out of my mouth. So,
hey, baby. That's what she said. Get that perineum going. There you go. Practical.
I will say, one of the highlights for the weekend was all my presentations I did at the Broadbeck tent. Thanks to those guys, I did a killer job on my handle sculpting using that Marocco platen, as well as my S grinding using their new radius platens they're actually selling now. They got all kinds of tools and tool arms available to you. If you don't need the chassis, they have, like I said, the tool arms across platforms. So go check out their website. And when you check out their website, is broadbeckironworks.com. And when you go to check out, after you get yourself a whole new system or some tool arms, make sure you put in Knife Talk 10 at checkout to save yourself 10%. Again, go to Broadbeck Ironworks. Show those guys some love and support. They've done a lot to take care of us knife makers. They're doing some great things with their machines. And I thank them for hosting me in their tent this weekend.
Hey, there's room in that tent for you. Last year, we were standing around. I think it was the Philly guys. It was Butch and Jesse and you and me and John. And John Ariani, who is the best. And John, I talked to a couple days ago getting ready to go to Maker Camp. Mm-hmm. I remember that for some reason, I don't know what it was, but Ariani just wanted to wrestle you. And I had to say to John, I said, this could be a huge mistake. Don't do it. Don't do any wrestling. I have this feeling that Marecco has a switch. And all you need to do is like nudge him in the nuts once. And I think the switch is off. I think there's like a moment where it's like the red comes down, the fury comes down, there's no fucking stopping him. And I said to him, I'm like, he's like, I just want to wrestle a little bit. I'm like, no wrestling. Nobody's wrestling here.
It's not a hairpin trigger. It does actually take a surprising amount. But it also, I think it's contextual, because sometimes my switch flips pretty fucking quick.
Right.
But if it's somebody I know, I'm a slow burn. It takes a while for it to get to a point where I'm ready to
accidentally nudge the balls. But, kicking the balls is enough, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That wouldn't feel good, but I would still keep it down. I think, because I'm kind of short. I'm 5'8", and so I think sometimes, and Johnson, he's a little bit taller than me, but we're built similarly. But I don't think he realizes, like, I could pick him up and throw him over that fire pit.
Yeah, don't do that. Let's see what the weather forecast. Let's get into the after show. I want to see the weather forecast. I'm afraid it's going to...
Shall we? Okay, let's do it. Thank you all for listening. It's been a good one. Good fun. We shall speak to you again next week. Bye for now.
Oh, boy.
So who's blocked us then? What's going on?
We're not talking. This is still the after. That's for the after show. I have not the best of news. Saturday, it's got an 80% chance of rain.
How much rain?
Does it say inches? It is, we're looking at from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're looking at, it's going to be steady rain from about a 0.1 inch. Or an inch of rain. But it's not going to be nice.
That's a lot of rain. Okay.
So bring your fucking slickers, guys.
Yeah.
Shit's going to get muddy.
What do you sleep in? What's...
Well, the Modern Forge guys, that's me and Cliff and John and Jesse and Carrie, we get a cabin.
Nice.
We get a cabin. And it's walking distance from the... So all of them are going to be under tents. The good thing is the blacksmithing tent shouldn't be a problem for rain at all. It's going to get muddy. It's going to get muddy, but at the same time, we'll have a good time.
Wear your
boots. I mean, we're talking from the future. Hopefully it doesn't get that way, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm super excited to meet Noah Vachon. I find out yesterday that he's coming. And
Yeah, me too.
You know,
he's a big
it'll be great.
Dude too, isn't he? He's like 6'4", 6'5".
Something like that. It'll be great to see you, Marecco. That was the last time I saw you last year. And it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to meet. It'll be fun to meet Brian House.
Yeah.
It'll Brian's be fun to meet. Who else is going to be there? There's all sorts of free. Lots of Knife Talk guys will be there. I got a lot of messages. Knife Talk guys are going to be there. And I'm going to bring limited merch. I'm bringing limited merch.
Limited merch, he says.
Well, I got new hats. I got new hats and I got new watch caps and I got new ball caps and I'm bringing friction folders and I'm going to have EDC. I don't have stuff to sell, but at the same time, I got to fucking work. So I hate doing it, but I hate doing the selling part. I wish I didn't have to, but it's like, I kind of need to kind of get ready.
So how do you like set up stall there? Do you like,
well, we have a table, we have a table, and then the boys, I mean, John and Cliff are going to bring like 30 hammers and axes.
Oh,
so
shit.
This is, it'll be, yeah. I talked to John, he's been like hustling him away. He and Cliff are going to have I mean, if you want to get a nice hammer, this is the place to get it. I mean, obviously talking to the past. And then I'll have a table, and then, you know, Jesse will have, we'll have one big table. And the problem is like, I don't do, because the area is so bad, I won't do, like, I'm not going to have like a cube system so I can swipe your credit card. We're going to have it like, you bring me cash. Cash is nice. But then you can just buy it off the website, and I let the, let you have the, we'll have a little page, and then you'll be able to buy stuff off the, I'm having Allison set it up so you can buy it off the website.
Oh, that makes sense. So it, yeah,
you get, yeah, so I don't have to have the Wi-Fi problem. You have the Wi-Fi problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't want to deal with, I tried that one. I'll never forget being at Blade Show and that guy with the handle scales with the, you're wearing a tennis ball hat, you know, a tennis hat with your hair sticking out, and he's got the cutoff shirt, and he is just sweating bullets because he cannot find any, I'm buying $120 worth of scales, and he is losing his goddamn mind because he can't find a signal. I don't want that. So,
so that was like two sets of scales or something like that.
No, well, no.
Fucking handle scales are expensive these days.
I wish. I wish. So, what else is going on, guys? Any fallback from the Britney Spears thing?
Oh,
go ahead.
She did put up another post, didn't she? That somebody.
They call the cops on her.
Like. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and
really?
She had a visit from the cops. Yeah.
Like a wellness check?
Yeah, people were concerned.
Yeah, wellness check.
I think so, yeah.
I talked to my wife.
And she just reiterated that they are
bullshit. They're bullshit. That's the bullshit. So what she said is she went to go to a stage prop shop to get two normal culinary knives that any place would have, any home would have, because she doesn't want people to think. That's a lot. That right there is fabrication. There's no way she would. If you get prop knives, you go to Tony Swatton and you get a couple of fucking real prop knives. You don't get prop knives that look like kitchen knives, that look like shitty kitchen knives.
I just had somebody comment that when I do my knife demonstration, I should make sure to start with Britney Spears style dance. Was it Melvin Reuter, woodworker?
My wife and I talked a lot about it, and we were talking about the fact that there are people. She did not have a solid foundation for growing up, and it really is a shame. And a lot of people really do not have the correct foundation for starting their life out, and it's sad. It's really fucking sad because she got all the money in the world, but clearly she's got problems, and she's got no one really supports her. So I find it to be quite disturbing, frankly.
No, it is, and it's all being sort of played out.
And I don't think it's funny. You know, there's memes of her doing all this stuff. I find it to be more hurtful, and not hurtful, but I mean, I find it to be sad, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Slapping her ass with that knife. It's just like, come on, man. It's just like, give me a fucking break. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Who'd have thought we'd be talking about Britney Spears?
Yeah, we got one more week out of it, right? This is about enough.
Yeah, one more. Then we move on to Taylor Swift then, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. That game, I watched that game, that Jets game, where the Jets almost coughed it up. It was the highest watched the highest watched football game that was not the Super Bowl, and it was like the fourth week in the Jets suck, and it was like it was crazy how much she has like invaded popular culture.
Yeah.
Why would
it was like you said, popular culture everywhere.
The views were because Taylor Swift was there.
Here's what happened. So the Jets, the whole thing with the Jets are the Jets.
They
the
got
whole
Aaron
story.
Rodgers now, right?
They don't have Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers got injured on the fourth play of the first game. He tore it. So they have their backup, who Zach Wilson, who has been not great, and he's young. And the whole idea was he was going to be mentored by Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers out the first four fucking plays, doesn't even make a completion, nothing, and they're killing this poor kid, and they're playing against the Chiefs, who are the Chiefs their Hall of Fame team. There, Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce are Hall of Fame running back and a tight end and a quarterback, and the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions. They're coming to New York. Nobody wants to watch Zach Wilson play. So people with with season tickets are trying to sell their tickets because they don't want to see it. They know they're going to lose. The price, the aftermarket price, or the secondary market price for the Jets tickets were insane, because all these kids wanted to all of a sudden go see. They wanted to be in the same room. Travis Kelce is the tight end of the Chiefs. Apparently, I think it's all a fucking hoax. She's dating Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift came to two games. Because Taylor Swift is going to be in the stadium, all these kids just wanted to be in the same stadium as Taylor Swift, and it became the most watched football game in the history of, like, this, you know, instead of a Super Bowl.
Jesus, she's like Mother Teresa of pop music.
She's mother, and the Swifties wanted the funny thing is, all these people were saying, all these the women and the wives were saying to their boyfriends, "Did you know that Taylor Swift put Travis Kelce on the map?" And they're like, "Travis Kelce is a Hall of Fame tight end. He was famous before her." No. She made him famous. It's this hilarious. They get furious because they're just like, we don't want to hear about goddamn Taylor Swift anymore. But wow. it's bananas. It's been totally bananas. So they had Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds and Taylor Swift and all these motherfuckers watching poor Zach Wilson. If he doesn't put a gun in his mouth by the end of the season, it's going to be a miracle. No, they're killing him. Everyone hates him. And he's just this young kid he wasn't supposed to be in this position. It was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers.
You know, watch. So. I want to see the underdog. I want to see him come
out. Me too. I'm rooting for him. I back Zach. I'm rooting for Zach Wilson. He had a great game. They got screwed by the umpire, by the referees at the end. They were only lost by two, which is a miracle. The people were very happy because they did not expect him to do as well as he did. And we're backing Zach. So it's like, there's football talk, guys.
There you go.
Football talk. Right. Yeah. Right. Let's call it a day. You two have a good weekend.
You too.
Which has already happened,
by
the way.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm sure you had a great weekend. And we should speak again next week. Bye for now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.